B-Pod Studios.
What's up?
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row. Presented by Hyundai on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour of Radio Row coverage on Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions Pretzels. ESProvisions.com. It's where you go for those. Let's get to something else that happened on Felger Mass. We started the show today with the Brandon Lang report that Brady had bought property in Vegas. We followed that up with many specific details about where that property is. The Summit, Vegas.
Nice Brady. Part of town. Well,
Brady Raiders 2020.
That's a report. That's a rumor that he ended up deciding on a property there at the Summit, which is part of another.
Wait a minute.
It's part of a.
Does Summit mean you're on top of the mountain?
No, that's just the name. Just a name.
Confusing.
It's a Discovery Land entity, and we know that Tom Brady, at least as of a year and a half ago, when Architectural Digest did a piece about. Another Discovery Land property in the Hudson Valley that he owned a place there. Sounds very nice.
I have a question. What the hell is Discovery Land?
It's not a theme park. It's the name of the company.
I mean, it's like now we're tagging the type of land that he's looking at.
No, it's by a specific company that sells properties in various places throughout the United States.
Yeah, it's butted up against stuff, yeah. Nice.
But where is
what? We're butting up against conservation land.
It's
one here.
What? I'm lost. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm trying to figure out what the hell this fantasy land thing is. A Discovery Land, where you could run with no shoes, and you could be free, and you could fly a kite.
Okay, well, Discovery.
Did Kyle Curly Turley give you some CBD?
What the
or what?
Hell?
No.
Discovery
I would assume
Land.
Discovery Land. This non built on land.
No, it's not referring to the land. It's the company.
Okay, so I thought it was land.
No, it's not.
That's on me.
It's the company. It's the company that builds these properties.
Yeah. But you can see what I'm saying. If it was a certain land, it would probably be up against, like, the protected land that he's up against. And they would probably love to have no neighbors wherever the hell they go.
Well, there's 250 residences in this community that they're building in Vegas. And it's high-end, very expensive, top-shelf amenities, you know. All the things that a celebrity with a ton of money would want.
And if you're divorced, you go to Vegas.
Is Tom Brady divorced?
No. Well, someone throw that out against the wall today. Everything else has been thrown out.
Well, I mean, it has been in the tabloids. The way you said it, I didn't know if you knew something.
No.
Oh, okay.
Is that true? Right.
Is that true? Let's get to something else that was said on Felger Mass yesterday. Chris Mad Dog Russo with a report of his own. A lot of reporting going on here these days. A little report on the Joe Judge departure to the New York Giants. Do we have it?
And by the way, good for Dick McDaniels getting screwed. I am glad he got screwed. I heard somebody told me that would know that he's really mad at Belichick because Belichick has told John Mara that Judge was the guy. And he didn't even get an interview with the Giants.
Oh, he screwed him on that.
Yeah, this is out there.
So anyway, everybody feels that McDaniels is really mad at Belichick because Belichick, who loves the Giants, helped Mara get Judge and kill McDaniel. And my point about that is it serves McDaniels right because he screwed the Colts when he took the job.
No question. I felt the same way.
I have no sympathy for that clown.
I felt the same way.
Whoa. Five Belichicks in that clip. I had to count them. He has no sympathy for that clown McDaniels. Chris Russo yesterday on Felger Mass, but what he says is something that's been sort of speculated on a little bit, and that is Bill helped Joe Judge get the job in New York. Josh McDaniels didn't make it even to the interview process in New York. And
Bill
so,
actually blocked an interview. Wouldn't allow them to move it up.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So I know that was floated, but is that factual? Do you believe that's factual?
I would believe that's factual.
So here's my question.
If you want to keep your offense coordinator, that is factual.
Okay, but why does – if you give someone permission to interview, or you don't – does he need permission to go up?
Yeah.
In the league?
Yeah.
To go from coordinator to head coach?
Yes.
You do?
Well, you're under contract there. Yes.
I thought the way the rules work now is you can't deny the permission. And if you're giving permission, what? When I saw that,
there's got to be something written.
Why
is
it that Bill Belichick is in control of Josh McDaniels' schedule?
Because he's the highest paid coordinator in the league now. When he walked off that plane from Indy, things changed. There's got to be some different language written into his contract, more so than any others.
All right, so let's assume it's true.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick steered the job to Joe Judge and blocked Josh McDaniels from taking it. So McDaniels is pissed. If that's true, then he has a right to be pissed. I'd be pissed too. But here's what I would say about it. He wasn't going to the Giants.
No.
He wasn't taking that job.
They already have the back and the quarterback that I don't think he likes.
I think he was going to – he was either Cleveland or he was coming back here. I don't think he was going there.
And I also truly think Bill would like him to replace him when he leaves.
But that's also not what Mad Dog's saying. He's that McDaniels is mad because he had, you know, sort of called the Maras and said, Joe Judge is your guy. And he recommended Joe Judge over Josh McDaniels. He didn't get into the scheduling of the interviews or any of that crap. He recommended Joe Judge as opposed to recommending Josh McDaniels. And now he's mad about it. Should he be mad? Because I would go right back to my point that it was either Cleveland or coming back here, and we all knew it. So now you wanted Bill to call the Giants and say, yeah, you should hire Josh. Josh is your guy. Did Josh have any real intentions of taking the job, or was he going to do to the Giants what he did to the Colts?
But did,
like, this is when I go back to Josh McDaniels and say, it's your own fault.
But did it, if it really did go down that way, wouldn't you rather have had Bill say, if you were Josh McDaniels, Judge is great. I think you should wait and talk with Josh because I know you're scheduled to talk with him.
That's
later
not
in the
as
week.
Strong of an endorsement, though, of one of his guys. You're now splitting the endorsement, and it's not as meaningful when you say, either one would be great.
Nah.
That's sort of wishy-washy. If you call and say, Judge would be great for you.
No.
And you don't mention McDaniels, carries some real weight.
But that's different than saying, Judge be great for you, or saying, Judge is the guy, which is, if you just say, no, he'd be great. Or if you say, no, he's the guy, he's the one you should hire, do it right now. Boom. Well, that takes McDaniels out of it. And McDaniels, even if it was going to be staying with the Patriots or going to Cleveland, don't you want that option out there? It's like we're talking with Brady yesterday and like people like saying, hey, don't say I don't want to go to L.A. I need that on the table. Yep. Even if there's no way
I'm going
to L.A.
What about
the Cowboys
Bill,
shot?
Why Bill may have looked at it the way that he did. Because doing the they'd both be great, or Josh is good and Joe would be good too. They're both ready to be head coaches, as he obviously feels about Joe Judge. Is he going to get a guy a job because he knew Joe Judge would take the job? Or is he going to get Josh McDaniels more opportunities and more choices when he didn't think that Josh was really going to take that job? Am I interested in getting a guy a job who wants the job? Or do I want to just help facilitate a guy, have his options again, and then decide what he wants to do?
Or does Bill know
How about I just get one of my assistants who deserves a shot? I get the guy a job that he's going to take. Right? It's almost like if you recommend somebody for something, you think, I'm only going to recommend you so long. Don't make me look bad on this.
Right.
You know? Don't jerk them around.
If Bill
you
want also know
I'll give you a recommendation.
New York's a tough place. New York and New Jersey. Those type of people, those type of fans may like Judge better. You got to get the guy's got to be right for the job. So that could be part of it. Maybe Josh would get eaten alive there.
And quite frankly, if Belichick really feels that way, it feels
or
like
a drill
sergeant. Yeah, Judge.
Coughlin.
You know, Judge is the right guy for the job. Well, McDaniels can be as poly pissy pants as he wants about it. We don't know that he is. You know, Russo seems to think that he is. But if you're Belichick, say, hey, I'm going to give my endorsement to the guy who I think is best for the job, and I thought it was Joe Judge. I didn't think it was you. Nothing personal. They asked me what I thought. I said, he's your guy. That's the guy for that job. He's the one you should hire. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but they're asking me my opinion.
So, I can't see it being that.
Now I'm sticking my neck out.
then you got to come here and work with him. You have too much respect for Bill to be pissed at him for that.
He may not even be pissed that he didn't get a shot at the Giants job. It might just be the way it looks.
We never
how it sort of hurts the reputation.
Right. Yeah. It was always like
you know your own head coach gave the recommendation to a other guy on the staff who wasn't really who was a bit of a surprise candidate.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a surprise that
I'd
he was
so.
Getting it, and I think that's happened a couple of years in a row. First Brian Flores, and now Joe Judge immediately ascending to head coaching positions. A little bit surprising on both fronts. And Brian Flores appears to be a good head coach. I thought he had a good first year.
Got Patricia out there now, too.
Oh. I don't know about that. I don't know so much about that. He feels like a coordinator to me. Sorry, Hardy.
He does.
Sorry.
That's fair.
Sorry. This hour of coverage brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions. Pretzel 617-779-0985. Your reaction to the latest with the Patriots. That includes Dante Scarnecchia retiring. Joe Judge being recommended over Josh McDaniels for the Giants job. That according to Chris Russo. And, of course, Rob Gronkowski not shutting the door on retirement again. And Brady bought a house in Vegas. We're talking about all those things with you coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
How many car garage?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, everybody, it's just me here today, live from Super Bowl 54. Scott Zolak with you, anchoring down the coverage. That came back quick, huh, guys? Want to talk about Dante Scarnecchia a little bit here. You know, the absence of him, and you think you're going to have your center back. So let's go through the line. You're going to be okay with Isaiah Wynn. Joe Tooney is gone. Gone. David Andrews should be back. Tech Karras will probably go left guard. Shaq Mason will stay at right tackle. Marcus Cannon, stay at right tackle. I mean, right guard, right tackle. That's not that bad a line. If you have health, and if they can play together – and have some continuity. Canton, Mason, Andrews, Karras. Or you put Karras at tackle and kick the kid inside because of his size. Teddy's more of an upright guy. Well, whoever they choose to coach this unit, you know, Scar's giving them a good base. I still wouldn't tie it into Brady. Whether he thinks Brady's leaving or not, I would tie more into I've done everything I can with what you're giving me. We're not loading up this year, so I'm not coming back to try and get another ring. Hasta la vista. I have fun in Narragansett. Move down here.
Are we on now?
Yeah, I mean, we're here.
Okay.
We're here. That's for sure. The loading up thing. Loading up's not going to happen if they don't have Brady, right?
No.
You're going to load up without Brady.
No, it's Brady plus.
Why not?
It's 07.
If your quarterback's making $600,000, you can load up.
Yeah, but...
Oh, shut up, stupid.
What's the point
man.
Of spending all that money if you don't have a quarterback who can take you
See,
all the way?
He's so smart.
You have to spend the money because you have a quarterback that's lesser.
No, you don't. And then
what are you
going
to do with it? You're going to let it roll over to next year?
Maybe. Maybe until you know what you have in
the quarterback. That would play really well here.
No,
that would play really well here.
It'll play poorly, but I don't think that Bill Belichick is motivated by how things play.
Aha!
I don't think he is. If he was motivated by how things play, he'd find a way to make sure Tom Brady is not hitting free agency. He'd be in his ear getting a deal done right now. How's it going to play if Brady leaves? Is it going to play well? No, it's not going to play well.
It depends.
Really?
Depends how they replace it.
Like if Brady steps up on the podium with wearing a Raiders uniform in 2 months? That's going to play well here?
Oh.
If he steps up there wearing a Chargers uniform, it's going to play well? Nothing's going to play well if that happens.
What's Brady's contract and who's the replacement?
Jerseys.
What's Brady's contract and who's the replacement? Because that plays a factor.
So we, on this show, pretty much believe Teddy Bridgewater is the best replacement. We all sort of agree on that?
Yeah, he wins by default.
I don't like Bridgewater.
I don't like him either.
Or what's your ideal replacement then, Jim? Who's your ideal replacement?
I don't have one right now.
Well,
yeah.
You gotta come up with one. Like, okay, I'm just playing out. Because you say it depends on the replacement. Let's say, in my opinion, the best case scenario is you get Teddy Bridgewater. I still don't like it. I still think you did okay. Hey, you did well. You got a mid-level starting quarterback in this league. That won't kill you. That means you at least have a guy who can play the position.
I'd rather have like a Blake Bortles combining with Jarrett Stidham and maybe a draft pick.
And you like that? Over Brady?
No, I'd rather have that over Bridgewater.
I wouldn't. I would take Bridgewater, but just the whole. Is that good? Does that play well? Hey, they went from Brady
I might take Bortles over Bridgewater. Because I want two guys that
doesn't play well. Who's excited about that? Ah, don't worry. We got Bortles and Stidham coming in to replace Brady. Like, what?
Well, while you're on the coaches stuff, they made a hire over the weekend that we didn't talk about, bringing in Jed Fish.
Yeah, he's a tennis guy?
He played tennis growing up and never played football. His mom, his parents got divorced. His mom married a football coach, and he fell in love with football.
Oh, good.
Oh.
And then he became a football coach.
I like football.
No, but regardless of that, he coached Josh Rosen in college at UCLA.
The hell I care.
He was the offensive coordinator. If they take a look at Josh Rosen, that would be a surprise.
No.
Who else liked Josh Rosen in Miami?
Seems like Chad O'Shea did.
Did he?
Yeah, we've heard that.
Oh.
We've heard that.
All right.
Maybe down here this week.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's out there, though, right? So
maybe Fitzpatrick.
I'd never heard it.
That's out there.
I follow pretty much everything. That's the first time.
I think it's out there.
Maybe Fitzpatrick runs his mouth a little bit.
I think it's out there.
So that's why he's gone from Miami? Because he was a Rosen guy?
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
He got... You can respect that. Guy gets fired by standing by Josh Rosen. Wow.
That takes balls, man. He was a Rosen guy.
Huh.
Yeah. Does that mean the other Patriots coaches that remain in New England, Josh McDaniels, does Josh McDaniels like Rosen? I mean, I don't know what there is to like about Josh
Rosen,
but
goofy neck.
If you just
he played tennis when he was a kid too, right?
Did he?
I think so.
A tennis guy.
Yes, he looks like a bird.
There's a lot of videos, which obviously I can't check out right now. Chad O'Shea talking about Josh Rosen.
He looks like
as recently as December of 2019. Pleased with his progress, team player, nice guy.
Hearing that, Jim? Chad O'Shea was pleased with Josh Rosen and his development. Yeah, may have been he hitched himself to that wagon.
Coach, how do you feel about Josh Rosen? He pleases me. Print.
He's developed very well.
O'Shea pleased with Rosen.
Yeah, that could have been part of the reason why there was a departure there. Just not the reason, part of the reason.
Yeah.
So would you respect the guy that only played tennis growing up in the NFL as
no.
a coach?
No.
Why is that an issue, though? Like, what? There's a lot of guys that coach in the league that didn't play football at a high level.
White shirts, white
he didn't
shorts,
play football.
Ever?
Socks.
I don't think he ever played football.
At any point in his life?
He played tennis until his mom married his football coach.
Like not even a head, not even his like pop Warner high school.
I read
nothing?
A story. I don't think he played. I'll have to look it up again.
He liked to hit the ball right.
Try and throw it with a little more top
He'd
spin.
He'd be great for those quarterback drills where they try to prevent the batted passes, holding up the rackets.
That would be really good for that, yeah. He could put on his little headband and his wristbands, his shorts, his pleated shorts, and his knee-high socks. Josh Rosen.
His foot was on the line. That's in. No, if the ball's on the line, that's in. He was in. That's out in this sport.
This is the
out of bounds.
It's a good lesson for you all. Let's see afterlife here.
Yeah, Josh Rosen,
Blake
Bortles,
Bridgewater.
None of it plays well.
No, what it is, Stidham.
That
All the more reason.
At least you already got one guy.
You
got
to get Brady back for one more year to figure this thing out.
Yes. Andrew's in Milton. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So I did not really just hear you say that you would rather Blake freaking Bortles be your next quarterback over Teddy Bridgewater.
Jim said it, and I backed him up. I did.
You did? You agree?
Yeah, so agrees.
You second that?
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, he's more like Stidham. Like, when you had Brady, you had Castle. Yeah, Brady and Jimmy. I want the same type of guy to run the same type of a system. Bridgewater's more under center. He's a bootleg guy. He's a little quicker, a little more dynamic. It'd be like night and day from Stidham to him.
Have you looked at Blake Bortles' stats from this past year? Yeah. He didn't play a single down. Did you look at Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, he's well rested.
Yeah, did you look at Teddy Bridgewater when he came in and backed up Breeze? He played great. You're out of your mind, dude. You're out of your mind.
He's not wrong. You're both out of your minds.
He carved your ass up week two down in Jacksonville. He had the team winning in an AFC title game up here on the road.
He's had good coaching for a year.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Can I give you some more about Fish?
No.
Fish notably did not play football at the high school or college level. Instead, was an all-state tennis player during his prep career. Graduated from University of Florida with a degree in criminology.
He's a criminal.
The reason he went to Florida was because he wanted to work someday for Steve Spurrier.
Oh.
It's the only reason he went to Florida.
So he went to Florida with the being a football coach?
I'm telling you, his mom married this guy, and he just wanted to be a football coach.
I don't know, man. The guy can obviously coach. He didn't get this far in life because he can't coach.
Yeah.
That's how I sort of look at it. Like, it is unique, but I don't...
Doesn't make me want Fish, though.
I don't look at it as a downgrade. What's his role going to be?
He worked for Dom Capers, Brian Billick, Mike Shanahan, Pete Carroll with Seahawks, Jim Harbaugh with the Niners, Michigan, and then under Jim Mora at UCLA.
So his role is going to be like offensive assistant. Oh. They haven't officially named his title, but
he was with the Rams last year.
Yeah, with McVay.
Yeah.
And Blake Bortles.
Didn't even think of that. So he's a Bortles Rosen guy. Awesome. Great. Can't wait for Brady to go to LA or to Vegas. Wonderful. Yeah, no, it'll play great. Oh, God, they got to get Brady back.
Yeah.
Can't let Brady leave. Can't let this
anybody else think anything else?
They need to get Brady back.
Yeah.
That's all I know. That's all I know. I know that to be true. Brady needs to return. Don't let Brady leave. I don't want to do this. 617-779-0985. Some of us were at the Celtics game last night. You guys didn't want to partake in that field trip. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Game got pushed back.
Yeah, good thing it did. We would have missed more of it if it hadn't been pushed back. I think it was 8-0 Celtics when we walked in the door.
Did Felger die?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. A review of the Celtics game last night with the help of Cedric Maxwell. That's coming up next.
Nice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row. Presented by Hyundai on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rebound Dragic, kick back to Butler, another three. That is no good. Rebound Jaylen Brown, and the clock will roll down, and the Celtics, without Tatum, without Cantor, and on the final night of the road trip, get the biggest one yet. They hold off the Heat in Miami and make a statement in the Eastern Conference playoff race. The final score, Boston 109, Miami 101.
This hour on Radio Row on Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions Pretzels. You heard Sean Grandy on the final call last night. of the Celtics' win over the Heat here in Miami. And give us 1 second here. We have a guest coming over, yay or nay?
I don't think it's happening this instance.
Okay. All right. Well, my apologies. Doing things on the fly here. Sorry. Grandy with the call last night. Celtics win. I was there. Jim was there. Jim can't talk right now. He's tied up with that possible guest situation developing. So last night was Super Tuesday. I don't know what's wrong with your headset again. Try it now. Turn it back on.
How super was it?
It was good. It was a very, very nice night that we
had.
What
were the beverages of choice?
I would say there were multiple tequila beverages to begin the evening.
Well, I don't want to play spoiler.
Yeah. But I don't want to also spoil it for those guys.
Right.
I'll let them tell you what happened.
I've seen you today. You were a part of the night.
Yeah, I was out until about midnight.
You're fine.
Totally midnight.
Fine. I saw Maz.
Midnight's the cutoff, man.
I saw Maz at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Full plate of breakfast in front of him.
Of course he did.
Like,
you look okay?
Soak it up.
I would expect him to look just a little tired. He should be fine today.
A little tired, a little pale, but otherwise ate food and held it down long enough to finish his breakfast and
I don't
come over and chat for a moment table side afterwards.
Based on what I saw last night, I don't think Maz will have any problem holding down any food today.
All right.
Okay, I don't think there's going to be any problem there. Jim Murray, if you saw him at breakfast, I'd tell you that he was probably in pretty great shape himself as well. Jim Lout was here at 5:15 this morning.
Oh, he's just a warrior.
Mark Capello here this morning early as well.
Okay.
He looks fine, doesn't he?
No.
He's a little after 8, yeah.
Yeah, he got here at 8. He's good.
So 4 for 4.
So that's 5 for 5. There's only one guy we're leaving out. There were 6 people in the traveling party last night.
And we don't know.
There's only one guy that is to be determined here. Their status for today.
Dun, 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 dun.
And that would be Michael Felger.
So
my favorite moment was Minnesota Radio Row when he came in from Super Tuesday. And proceeded to lay down his head on the table and sleep every break.
He was green.
He was green. He was as green as this kid with sweat running down his face
in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to have that big of a problem today. But of the 6 people, he was banged up.
He's the wild card.
He was.
I think it's great, though. I think if he's feeling great, then wait, you got to wait till 2, and he's playing it right. He's not telling anybody. If he's feeling terrible, then you're going to see it at 2 o'clock.
And he certainly was the wild card last night in that we were in the arena for 5 minutes. We had great seats. Thank you, Boston Celtics. Thank you, Celtics.
How were the seats compared to the Garden? You know,
6 rows tight behind the bench?
No, where it's tight. You can't,
they were roomier than the Garden seats.
Yeah, nice. Must be nice.
The arena was just okay, but
hard to get to.
Traffic sort of sucked, but we were in the arena less than 5 minutes, and we already lost Michael. We lost him.
Lost him how?
He went one way. We went to the seats.
Oh boy.
He went to the club lounge level.
Oh boy.
And we then later met him there, and there was a lot of going back and forth from the club to the seats to the club. One of those things.
I thought Felger.
But at one point, the bartender in the club looked at Maz and said, "Here," and handed him a cup of ice water and said, "This is for your friend because he needs it."
See, he gets so sloppy. Like, his shirt goes down this way. He spills something here. Every time you see Felger out, whether it's with the wood and the 2 kids, when he's eating, he's dripping stuff everywhere. Slurring.
See, now, this surprises me.
We had a lot of laughs last
night. This surprises me because
Max and Grandy.
So did Max and Grandy.
They saw you guys?
Oh, of course really? They did. Our seats, we walked down the aisle to our seats. Those guys were at the top of, like, the section in a row of media calling the game. So I couldn't believe how exposed they were to the public.
Okay.
They were hanging out there in the aisle calling the game.
You say hi to
the coach? Couldn't avoid them. Couldn't avoid them.
Felger is the guy who, when he goes to a game, wants to watch the game. He's not distracted by his phone.
Yes.
He's not socializing.
Right.
He's not doing any of this. Was that the case last night?
Yes, absolutely. He wanted to stay to the bitter end.
So,
we also may have had a friendly wager going.
What's with the back and forth between the club level and the down level? I mean, was he watching the game or wasn't he?
No, like first quarter, he went upstairs and watched, but you could see the court from there.
Okay.
And then end of the first quarter, he was he thought we were going up there, and then he went to the seats, and he stayed in the seats.
Okay.
Other than halftime, he came back up at halftime to get his glass of water. So he also had a beer.
And his second big gulp of beer.
A draft beer that was the size of a big, big gulp. I didn't know they made draft beers in arenas that big. I mean, it was massive. It was like a 2 liter of beer. Here's Grandy and Max.
Wisconsin's finest, Michael Felger.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Michael Felger!
He doesn't know where it came
from. Michael Felger!
He's oblivious. He's not going to react to it. Just some fan. He's probably used to it.
The utter groan by Max says it all.
Michael Felger!
Oh, Jesus.
We got one more from the broadcast last night.
So you're back from your visit with Michael Felger.
Why are you here? He wants to hand me a beer. It's like, I mean, I know the Hub were pretty good, pretty liberal, but I don't think that they want me drinking cold one on air.
I don't know if they've had a problem with it.
It may happen to another sport or two.
Yeah, I don't think we'd have an issue with that. Just don't tell everybody, Max.
Right. Hey, do you guys want a Felger update?
Yeah, how's he doing?
He just sent an email for the group email. You want me to read it?
It's from Mark Capello, the voice you're hearing right now.
It says, good morning. Not doing great, Murray. Not the worst, but still. I'm doing okay. I've been worse, is what he said. That's it.
Yeah, I would say Minnesota was probably worse.
That's disappointing. Well, you learn from your mistakes.
But not doing great. He's not doing great. I'm not surprised that he's not doing great. Everyone else, though, is fine. So,
you absolutely no change.
Yeah, none. I'm fine. Because I knew we had to be here this morning. Like, you know, I told him, I said, guys, it's a completely different world when you go on at 2.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot more hours, many more hours. I know it's only a difference of 4 hours, but it's a big difference. So they're up at 2 o'clock today. It's nice to see Granny and Max. And in the middle of the game, as I was leaving, Granny took off his headset and was like, hey, have you seen the Aaron Hernandez doc? And I'm like, what? He's like, it's unbelievable. Isn't it great? I'm like, no.
He's the only one that doesn't like it. He is the only person that doesn't
That's
like
not
it.
True. That is not true. That thing sucks.
Oh, boy.
That doc. He loves it, though. Grandy, big fan of the Aaron Hernandez.
Well, maybe he
doc.
Didn't follow the story as closely as we did.
Felger was sitting there going, huh? He didn't even understand he didn't even understand what Grandy was talking about.
Oh, Lord.
He had no idea.
Yes.
But Felger Maz, very generous last night.
All right.
They picked up the tab for everything. So
nice.
Like that.
Good drive time money.
All right. 617-779-0985. We have some guests lined up that are on the way today. The founder of Cameo is coming by at noontime.
Oh, nice.
The founder of Cameo was supposed to be bringing Andre Reed, but now Andre Reed bailed.
Good.
Oh, my God.
So Andre Reed bailed on the interview, and I said, that's it. No, you get your ass over here. We're going to talk to you about Cameo.
I thought it was the band. I swear to God I did.
No, you did not.
What?
The founder of the band. That's what I swear to God I did.
Word up. It's the code word.
Yeah. Everybody, Cameo.
Man, oh, man. Do you ever read our emails?
Yeah, I read Slack.
Brad Stevens will also call us at 12:50. Cam Hayward in the 1 o'clock hour, Shannon Sharp as well. So we've got a lot to get to. Guests on the way. Go nowhere. Zolak and Bertrand from the Miami Beach Convention Center.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour coverage on Radio Row brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions Pretzels. As we roll on here this week in Miami Beach, the guest list really picks up the next couple of days.
Yeah. Players are starting out. Current players of other teams are starting to roll in now, of which I have no clue who the hell they are. They all look the same.
Well,
they dress the same. They have the same hat, the same flat brim hat.
I've been watching Kirk Cousins.
Skinny jeans?
Since, you know, he was in college.
Yeah.
He just walked by, right?
I did not know him. I walked right past him. And Jim said, oh, Kirk Cousins. I'm like, that was Kirk Cousins?
Jim.
Some of these guys are rather nondescript. Get them out of there. You know, you obviously used to seeing them in uniform.
In a uniform.
Helmet, everything else. But, you know, you would recognize them on the field, but I just walked right past them.
It's not like they're wearing leather pants, khaki leather pants, khaki leather jacket, and matching Gucci shoes, which was what Deion Sanders had in front of Hardy and I in the elevator today.
Yesterday going down the escalator.
I'm sorry, yesterday going down the escalator. And so you lucky Goldberg pulled him off your ass, man. You were getting it.
And then?
Lucky. Child, please.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Did he laugh, though?
Yeah.
That's funny. I have not. Is he down here? I haven't seen him yet.
He was here yesterday.
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 I don't know about today.
Where is the guy? 617.
Oh, you'll see him.
779-0985. He's hard to miss.
He's the guy you recognize.
He has like one or two people with him. He does not have the full entourage. One of the more interesting things that we see down here is just the sheer number of people that follow the athlete.
Yep.
Like, there's an athlete going around doing interviews, and he's got seven people with him. And you're like, what the hell do the last three people in this line do? Like, what do all of you do?
You kiss the person's ass in front of you.
You need one guy or girl, one person. You don't even need that. All you need is something to keep track of your appointments. But if you want to have one person do that for you,
the handler gets you to the spot.
Yeah, that's what Hardy's saying.
Yeah,
you need a handler.
He's saying you need a handler because these guys would have no clue. The handlers.
That's what
in
he's
touch.
Describing, though. He's saying you got to get them to where they need to go.
I'm saying you don't
keep track of the appointments. Here's where we're going next.
Well, he said you actually don't even need that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, right.
You really
if
don't.
You're a functioning human being.
Right. If you're a grown human boy or girl, you don't
four.
Need someone to keep track of eight interviews you have over the course of 4 hours. Okay. I'll write those down here. Easy.
The handler, though, knows where each station is in the room.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's seven or eight people in some of these entourages.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep. Mike Reese, by the way, has a story on the Patriots. And it says, what might the Patriots wide receiver core look like in 2020? Taking a look forward to next season. Listen to this and tell me if you think there's anything to read into this. 2019 in-season acquisition, Mohamed Sanu, who showed promise as an inside target when healthy, 10 catches against Baltimore, is signed through next season and due to earn $6.5 million. The pure financials and how the Patriots are projected to have about $30 million in salary cap space and would save $6.5 million if they move on from Sanu could spark an internal discussion on his future. Regardless, the Patriots will benefit from adding another receiver who can run. Speed should be a priority to complement the shifty and crafty Edelman and big and physical Harry and possibly Sanu atop the depth chart. It feels like Mike Reese thinks he's gone.
I don't think he's a lock.
Was there anything about Mohamed Sanu on the team this year that would make him a lock in your mind if you're putting together the roster?
Based on his performance in New England this season, no. But I think he's got a track record, and I think that they obviously believed in that track record, showing given what they gave up to get him.
Yeah.
A veteran that looks that way versus a young kid that looks that way, you keep the veteran.
Let me say it this way. Is the $6.5 million so much that you just have to, just based on the money, say, yeah, this guy's got to go?
Well, you get rid of him and Dorsett. But I don't look at the $6
million. Like $6.5 million.
Six is a fair price for a player like that.
Right. And you have so few guys that you have as unknown. I mean, N'Keal Harry's still an unknown. What's he going to be? We know he's great with the ball in his hands. You just can't get him to get the ball in his hands that easily. But he's still an unknown. $6.5 million is not break the bank type of money where you say, oh, that's way too high of a number. You got to move on from that. If you can get out from underneath it, you have to do it. The money itself doesn't feel that way to me. $6.5 million, I think they should keep him. That's what I would do. Unless, of course, he has a bad camp and you come in, you're like, oh, this guy has lost a step, and then you say, see you later. But not prior to camp or prior to the start of the year. Like, not now.
How much do you want to involve your quarterback in the decision-making? As we've been told in the past, not at all. Doesn't have anything to do with it, just a player.
Zero.
Whether it's Tom or anyone else.
Zero.
But let's say it is Tom. And you're trying to convince him to come back for one or two more years and play here for less money than he would get somewhere else. Do you then include him in the conversation? And if you do, what is he? How does he feel about having Mohamed Sanu around?
He likes Sanu.
There you go.
He was in favor of getting Sanu midseason. Unless they've got something better that they think they're about to acquire in free agency and they need the $6.5 million to help do it.
To me,
that's the way you say, all right, yeah, you moved on from Sanu because player X, Y, or Z is an upgrade and you wanted the money to spend.
And to me,
that makes sense.
If that were the case, as we've been told all these years, that Tom has zero say in any other personnel, that to me would be a pretty easy negotiating point to give in on and say, okay, I know we're not going to give him more than this amount, but we're going to bring you in on these decisions for receivers, tight ends, stuff like that. We're going to make you part of the team that decides on this stuff.
I mean, like that. I don't think they'll do that, but I think it'll be more Josh of that mindset because it's Josh's offense.
Okay.
Josh, you got to build it. You got to put it up, put the whole puzzle together. See, that's just hard for Brady because you got to get his deal done first. See, and if he's going
to decide the future of Sanu?
No. If he's going to listen, if he's like we talked about the last 3 days here, if he's going to take less to stay, what the hell are you promising him? You can't put that in physical form in front of him. Free agency doesn't start. You need to do Brady by free agency. You can't say, okay, we're bringing Antonio Brown. Just play the game. Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Danny Amendola. Okay? We're bringing those three players in. We're going to sign them. Right. Brady was here last year, and he saw the rug pulled from right under guys like what? Beasley. Who the hell's a kid in Tennessee? I keep forgetting his
name. Adam Humphries.
I keep calling him. I keep.
I know. I space on his name, too.
Jeez. I call him Matthews all the time. It's Humphries.
Right. But it's all predicated on who your quarterback is. You get Brady's deal done first, and then you start making all these decisions.
You like Rex? You like Rex, Tom? I'll let you keep Rex.
Yep. All right. Let's go to headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. And we get to the noontime hour, the founder of Cameo. That would be that great website that we once ordered from. We'll get to that coming up. And also, a couple of quick Red Sox items this coming hour, if you don't mind. Some news on the Red Sox front. We'll do that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.